The last 7 weeks, we've been doing a series, maybe you've been in and out, we've been doing a series on the one another passages in the Bible. And it was a Lenten series, and Lent is over, but we looked at greet one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another, encourage one another, we had bear with one another, and even forgive one another. And just last Thursday night, on Maundy Thursday, we looked at a passage in John 13, 34 and 35. I think I have it up there. And Jesus had shared the Last Supper with the disciples. It's Holy Week. He's preparing to die. And he gives one of the most profound one another passages. And I don't want us to miss it when Jesus says, love one another. You must love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. So I've been thinking about this message and what to title it. And maybe I should title it, Surprise One Another. Now, that's not a passage in the Bible, Surprise One Another. But I wonder who was most surprised on this first Easter Sunday. Have you ever, maybe you guys don't think about those things, like I sit around, you know, reading, and then I start thinking, the stone's rolled away. The tomb is empty. And who was most surprised? Maybe Pilate. Pilate. Jesus stood before Pilate and questioned him about the truth. And in fact, Pilate's wife said, don't have anything to do with him. And yet Pilate turned Jesus over to the shouts in the crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him. Maybe Pilate was the most surprised on Easter Sunday. Maybe Annas or Caiaphas, the high priest, who thought all their troubles were handled when Jesus hung on a cross and he died. And then they heard the news, he's alive. He's alive. Maybe they were most surprised when, maybe the women, and we're going to reflect on the women for a little bit today. Mary, his mother, Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, they all went to the cross. They all stood there and saw Jesus crucified. They saw his body taken down by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and carried into a tomb. And then 3 days later, they heard the news. He's alive. He's alive. I wonder if they whispered it. I wonder if they shouted it. Maybe the disciples were most surprised. You know, they all fled in the garden when Jesus was betrayed. They all ran. And Peter, maybe Peter was the most surprised when he was with Jesus the night that he was betrayed. And Jesus says, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And he says, no way. No way. And yet, the night that Jesus was betrayed, he denied him 3 times. And then, 3 days later, the news is, he's alive. He's risen. What was Peter thinking? Oh, my goodness. I just denied him 3 times, and he's alive. Who was most surprised that first Easter? Maybe the Roman soldiers. You know, they're the ones that beat him. They're the ones that crucified him. They're the ones that knew he was dead. And then 3 days later, the stones rolled away and the grave clothes are there. So maybe the so what should come first today before we even get to the scripture. I give you a so what every week to think about. So what surprises you about Easter? Are you surprised by the stone being rolled away? And who rolled the stone away? Are you surprised by the empty tomb? Are you surprised by the resurrection of Jesus? All those people I mentioned, Pilate, Annas, Caiaphas, the Roman soldiers, the disciples, Peter, the women, they were surprised. They were shocked. They weren't expecting it. Even though Jesus had told them at least three times, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be crucified, but on the third day I'm going to rise again. He told them over and over again, but they were surprised. They were surprised. Are you surprised by the fact that Jesus appeared first to the women in their culture? Why would Jesus appear to women? Because in their culture, women couldn't witness or testify in court. And yet, Jesus first appears to women. If you're going to make up a story and try and fabricate a story, you wouldn't have, in their culture, had women be the main leaders of the story. Maybe you're surprised by that. I don't know. Are you surprised that he met with his disciples and according to the scriptures, he met with over 500 people before he ascends into heaven? So my so what question comes really early. What surprises you about Easter? What surprises you about Easter? Let's go to our passage. We're going to read the passage from John on this Easter Sunday. Matthew records it, Mark records it, Luke records it, and John records it. John records it somewhere around 60. John's recording this somewhere around 60 AD. That's like 30 years after Jesus rose from the tomb. And as I was sharing at the sunrise service this morning, and I got emotional thinking, what would it have been like in the first century? Or even in the second century? They didn't have the Bible, and they didn't have iPads with the Bible on it, that's for sure. They didn't have the written word, but they stood around, or maybe it's like a campfire, and they started telling the story. And each one told their part of the story. So Matthew hears part of the story and he writes it down. And Mark hears part of the story and he writes it down. And Luke hears part of the story and he writes it down. And then 30 years after all of that, John writes the story again. And we have it. It's called the gospel, the good news. In John 20, verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Actually, the Greek word for early is pyros, and it means in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. We were up at the field, thank you, Mike, up at the field before 6. It was dark. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and she saw, surprise, the stone had been removed from the entrance. You see, she doesn't go in. She's walking. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke say that Salome and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were with them. John just says it was Mary Magdalene, but there were probably 4 or 5 women going to the tomb, and they see that the stone, a 2,000-pound stone, had been rolled away. She doesn't go there. She doesn't go in. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. John's putting himself in the story there. The one that Jesus loved and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So John's saying, I'm faster than Peter, is what he's saying. But he's not bragging. He said, the other disciple, that's me, he says, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen there, but did not go in. It's interesting, the word that the Greek uses, he looked or he saw, it's blepo. And it means that he kind of casually just looked. He looked in, and the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, and he went into the tomb. Surprise. It's empty. He saw, it's interesting here, the word is thorao. John uses a different word. John says, I blepoed, I just kind of looked. But Peter, he thorao, he started theorizing what was going on because he's in the grave. Think of entering a grave. He enters the grave. He went into the tomb and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw a different Greek word for saw, orao. It means he just observed and made a conclusion. He saw, and he believed. It's interesting, don't miss this, is surprise, John is the first one ever recorded that ever says he believed in the resurrection. Right there. He saw it, and he believed it. He didn't see the risen Christ. We haven't seen the risen Christ either. But we know the tomb is empty. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples, they went to their homes. It's funny how John records that. But Mary, she stood outside the tomb. See, probably Peter and John were running. And in their culture, this is very rare because Jewish men did not run. But they ran to the tomb, John ahead of Peter. They left Mary behind. And they get to the tomb. John first, he looks in, doesn't go in. Peter, he gets there, he goes in, he looks, and then John goes in. It says John believed, and then they left, but not Mary. She gets to the tomb, and Peter and John are gone. And she gets to the tomb, and she stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman," so the angels speak to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" In essence, why are you crying at an empty tomb? You should be rejoicing. You should be filled with joy. So the angels, one on the right and one on the left, one of the angels said, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Maybe because it was still dark. Maybe it was because her eyes were filled with tears. Maybe because the last time she saw Jesus, he was beaten and crucified and bloodied and wrapped in a linen cloth. She didn't recognize him. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Maybe just a digression here is, why do we cry at death when we know the hope and the power of the resurrection? He says, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll get him. Now, come on. She's going to pick up a grown man with 70 pounds of spices and get him. What was she thinking? Tell me where you put him and I'll get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. I wish I would have been there that day in that room with the disciples when Mary came running in. What joy, what excitement, for she's the first to see the Lord. She says, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. There was a Muslim student who became a Christian, and he was asked why he became a Christian. And he gave a profound answer. I was reading it in one of my books. He gave a profound answer. He said, I came to a fork in the road, and one road went off this way, and one road went off this way. And he said, I stood at the fork of the road, and there was a dead man leading people this way. And he said, there was a man that was alive leading people this way. I chose to follow the one who is alive. You see, Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's the only one that has risen from the tomb. He's alive. And so it was a profound thought. He has this vision, and he says, I can choose to follow a dead man, or I can choose to follow a man who is alive. And I chose to follow the man that is alive. Easter is going to end tonight, and Monday's going to come, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. And you're going to have trials, and you're going to have struggles and troubles. Who are you going to choose to follow? That's going to be the question. So maybe the title of this message, Surprise One Another. Surprise One Another. Peter is surprised. John is surprised. He first blepos. He kind of looks in but doesn't go in. And a lot of us are like John. We kind of just maybe put our toe into Christianity and we kind of look in and we just kind of see, okay, the tomb is empty. Or maybe we're a little bit like Peter. He goes into the tomb and he thoraos. He kind of studies it and thinks about it. But finally, John steps all the way in and he araos. He takes it into his heart. My challenge to you is really take the resurrection into your heart. Don't be surprised that the stone was rolled away. Don't be surprised that there were angels there. Don't be surprised that women were the first to hear the good news. Don't be surprised. D.L. Moody told a story of a young girl who was really, really sick. She came down with a high fever, and she was paralyzed on one side and wasn't able to move, and she was blinded by the fever. And the family doctor came in to the room and said to the parents, I think your daughter has seen her better days. In essence, he was preparing her for her death. Now, the young girl was a believer, and she couldn't see, but she could hear. And she said, no, I haven't seen my better day because I'll see my better day when I get to heaven and see Jesus. Have we seen our better day? Our better days are coming. They're coming. I thought about a lot about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene were recorded in the Gospels that Jesus cast out evil spirits out of her and seven demons. And she became a follower of Jesus. And it's recorded that she helped Jesus throughout her life. It says in Scripture, when we're forgiven much, we love much. And I think Mary Magdalene learned to love much. But I wondered a lot about Mary Magdalene in my study this week. I think Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus was betrayed. I think Mary Magdalene was there when she got to see him beaten. I think Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus walked down the Via Della Rosa and fell several times. And I think she saw Simon of Cyrene pick up the crossbeam. I think Mary Magdalene was there at the foot of the cross. We're told that she was there at the foot of the cross when he hung there. And just last Friday night, we had a wonderful Good Friday service where seven members of our church shared the seven last words. She was there to hear those words. I think Mary Magdalene was there when Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus asked for Jesus' body. And they took it down from the cross, and they took 70 pounds, it says, of spices and wrapped his body in linens and carried his body to a tomb. I think Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of John, and Salome and Joanna, I think they followed. Mary Magdalene was there. Mary Magdalene was there when the stone rolled across the threshold. For Mary Magdalene, I don't know if you see it, but her faith was buried. Her hope was buried. It's recorded in Luke 24 that when Jesus appeared to the disciples along the road to Emmaus, they're telling Jesus everything, and they say, "We had hoped that he was the Messiah. We had hoped that he was the Messiah, but their hopes are buried. Their faith is buried." But there's one thing for Mary Magdalene that wasn't buried, and I don't want you to miss it today. Love. Her love wasn't buried. Faith suffered. Hope suffered. But her love did not suffer. She and the other women, Salome and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, it says that they gathered up about 100 pounds of spices. Okay, 25 pounds a piece, maybe. That's a lot. And they carry it to the ark. What would cause a person to do that but love? Because their faith is buried, their hope is buried, but love is not buried. Richard Dawkins is the author of The God Delusion. And he was formerly a professor of public understanding of science at Oxford University. Maybe you have seen some of his stuff. And he once debated John Lennox, who was a professor of mathematics at Oxford University. It was a great interview. They debated the existence of God. The existence of God. Does God really exist? So you have these two professors, some of the brightest minds. One says he does, Lennox, and Dawkins says he doesn't. And at one point, Dawkins said to Lennox, this is Dawkins' quote, Lennox believes that the creator of the universe, the God who devised the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the physical constants, that this genius of mathematics and physical science could not think of a better way to rid the world of sin than to come down to this little speck of cosmic dust and have himself tortured and executed so that he could forgive. That, says Dawkins, is profoundly unscientific. Unscientific. Not only is it unscientific, but it doesn't do justice to the grandeur of the universe. Why would God bother entering into a small and broken planet? Dawkins chided Lennox and all Christians for believing that that kind of God, God's only and eternal Son on a Roman cross, would suffer and die, despised and rejected by men on this tiny planet. He says it's like being blindsided in a subway station on a Friday morning in Washington, D.C., in a hurry to get to work, and you pass by one of the most brilliant violinists in the world playing some of the most beautiful music in the world on one of the most expensive violins in the world. You don't expect to see the master violinist performing in a dirty, undignified place. Surprise. That's the very point of the resurrection. That's our hope. That's our faith. That's our love. When Michelangelo visited several galleries in the European cities, he was deeply impressed with the preponderance of all the paintings depicting Jesus hanging on a cross. And he asked, why are the art galleries filled with so many pictures of Christ upon a cross, Christ dying? Why do artists concentrate upon the passing episode as if that were the last word and the final scene? Christ dying on the cross lasted only for a few hours. But to the end of eternity, Christ is alive. Christ rules and reigns and triumphs. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, 33 years earlier, to Mary, the angels came down. We celebrated at Christmas. And they sing a song, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And they say, we bring you good news of great joy. And 33 years later, some angels came down again. And they said, why are you crying? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? We have good news of great joy for all people. He is risen. He is risen indeed. So what surprises you about Easter? I can say what surprises me is that the God of the universe, the one who created everything, would come down and die for me, for you. Because he loved us. That is a surprise that he would do that. So your so what question this week as you go out is what will surprise you? When faith dies, and it happens to us, when hope dies, and that happens to us, I want you to know that love remains. Love remains. Love never ends. He is risen. Mike Mooney, I'm going to talk about Mike for a minute, and the worship team can start coming up. Mike Mooney wrote a song. You guys can come up. He wrote a song. He likes writing songs, and he wrote this song called Rise Today, and I have the words here, and we're going to sing it. It goes, rise today, I will rise today. I will rise and praise the one who saves. I will rise today, raise my eyes, and I will say that Jesus is my way, my truth, and my life today. I will rise today. I will strive today to glorify today my God's Son today. And I will rise and pray. I will walk in his light today and show others his grace, love, and mercy along the way. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, let us not be surprised that you came down to love us and to bring us into your kingdom. And let us go out and proclaim this surprise to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able,